A very strange and mysterious event in our Lord's life. And I have to say, every time I read this passage, it's really difficult for me to grasp what really happened in the Transfiguration. I don't know about you, but maybe you struggle with the same thing. Why did it happen? What did it mean? What did it look like? And yet, every time I read this passage and meditate on it, study it, come across it in the lectionary, I'm always drawn to one particular phrase in the passage. And the phrase is this: they saw no one else but Jesus alone. Now, this part of it really strikes me. So what happened? Okay, to start with, Peter, James, and John went up the mountain with Jesus. Now, why these three? Well, we know that there was some sort of unique relationship that they had with Jesus. They're mentioned more than any of the other apostles. Peter, it's pretty obvious. Prince of the Apostles, first Pope, we get that. James and John, not exactly sure why, but there was something different about their relationship with Jesus. So I think it would be logical to assume that Peter, James, and John knew Jesus at a deeper level than the other apostles. Maybe not, but I think there's some logic to that. So here they are, they're up on a mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. This mysterious and strange and wonderful event happens in Jesus' life. And even though they knew him so well, what's the first thing that Jesus says to them? Do not be afraid. For somebody who knows Jesus so well that he has to say this, it's pretty incredible. So this line, I think, is important to reflect on. Do not be afraid. Whenever I read this line, I think of St. John Paul II. And when he was elected Pope and he came out on the loggia, of course, I don't remember this directly. It was before my first birthday, but I've seen it on TV. I've seen it on the internet, so it must be true. That Pope John Paul II came out on the loggia and he said in his wonderful Polish accent, "Do not be afraid." I have to say it that way. It should be pronounced with a fake Polish accent. Now, people were rightly confused when he did that. Do not be afraid of what? Was he speaking about the radical change that's just happened in his own life, being elected Pope? Maybe. What did he know that other people didn't know? Why did he choose this as one of his first lines? Well, I don't think it's necessarily as complicated as we think. Fear is a common human experience. We all have things that we fear. Sometimes relatively small and inconsequential things, sometimes huge things. Sometimes things that just startle us. For example, just a couple of days ago, I woke up, walked into the bathroom with bare feet, and almost stepped on a mouse that was running across my bathroom floor. Clearly, a legitimate example of being afraid of something. It is a common human experience to be afraid, but Jesus is telling us, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. What happens next? The disciples raised their eyes and they saw no one else but Jesus alone. I love that line. Now, sure, at a literal sense, what this means is that Moses and Elijah are no longer present to them. But as Catholics, we know that Scripture has multiple layers of meaning. So there's a literal layer of meaning here. Moses and Elijah are not there. But there's also a deeper spiritual meaning. It says they saw no one else but Jesus alone. Here's what really strikes me about this. How often, with the eyes of our heart, do we not see Jesus alone? Instead, choosing sin, we cloud our vision. And we don't see Jesus alone. We see the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the sin, the poor choices, the woundedness, the things that can keep us fearful. But allowing us to see Jesus alone is important. How do we get to that? Well, first of all, obviously, conversion from sin. Sin keeps us from seeing Jesus. And all sin is rooted in idolatry, choosing our own will, setting ourselves in place of Christ in our life. The church, of course, expects us to go to confession regularly. I've said this before, and I'm saying it again. It is my expectation as your pastor that everyone here goes to confession at least once this Lent. This is so important because it's a guaranteed encounter with the grace and forgiveness that God wants to give us. But to have the humility to admit our sins and to receive absolution sets us back on the right path. It allows God's grace to be restored or deepened in our soul. Go to confession, please. This allows us to see Jesus and to be loved by him, because we know that perfect love casts out all fear, St. Paul says. Now, how do we grow in our relationship with Jesus? The great thing about Christianity is it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's not always easy, but it's not complicated. There are three basic things that we have to make sure we're doing. The first is daily prayer. Saints are not made on accident, and saints are made through forging a life of prayer. Daily prayer is essential. It is not something that we can add on. It's not something that we can say, when circumstances in my life are different, I'll be able to have a prayer life. No, it needs to start today. A commitment of daily prayer is incredibly important, and it can be as simple as reading the gospel passage for the daily mass and spending a few minutes in quiet reflection on it. It's not hard to be able, it's not complicated. It's not always easy. Sometimes it is very hard, but it's not complicated. Secondly, sacraments. Sacraments are the second of the ordinary means of grace, and particularly confession, which oftentimes we avoid. So to be able to receive Holy Communion worthily and frequently, to go to the sacrament of confession frequently, this helps us grow in our prayer life, our spiritual life, to see Jesus alone. Prayer, sacraments. Now a third one, works of charity. To practice the spiritual and corporal works of mercy is essential for us to continue in our spiritual life. Those are the three ordinary means of grace. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easy, but it's never complicated. All we have to do is access the three ordinary means of grace consistently: prayer, sacraments, and works of charity. This will help us to overcome sin. And then to have that love of Christ which conquers fear and allows us to raise our eyes to see Jesus alone. When we do that, we can live our lives as disciples of the Lord in this life, to be with Christ forever as saints in the life to come.